you clearly have put a lot of time and work into this. My question is this. This seems to me to be a 2025 version of to know God and to make him known as we anticipate his soon return. And it is sort of, isn't it? And I guess
so. So yes, this is replacing that statement.
This is going to be replacing that, that's yeah. Right. Because it just seems like it's a modern version of what we did 25 years ago.
Absolutely. And this is something I anticipate in the next 5 to 10 years.
Then we'll change it again. Keeps growing.
We always need to be like, where are we today and where do we need to be in 5 years or whatever? And that's kind of what this document is. It's the next steps we're taking.
Okay, I mean, it's clear that there's a lot of thought been put into this, and I'm not in any way against it. I just needed to clarify that where I am and what I'm doing here.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
To develop unity and understanding, and so what we're presenting is a process, and we've had several pieces to get to this point because we can't really do this as a large group. It would take way too much investment of time to do that together, but we don't want to move forward just on the basis of a small group that's made this document. We want you to say, yeah, I buy into that. So that's, don't be afraid to ask a question.
How?
That's a good question.
So are you asking how will we implement this?
Yes.
Or are you asking
how are we going forward? How are you going to make it work?
Yeah, so we have a framework for strategic objectives, or what we call transformative objectives, the intention being like moving us from where we are to what we'd like to see. And we'll cover those in a minute. If you'd like to go over them before we make any motion for accepting of the vision and mission and who we are and why we exist statements, then that's okay. But I was thinking that we would stop here for a moment, do some Q&A, and if you'd like, make a motion to accept the framework, and then we'd go on and talk about the objectives and how we intend to do it. So let us know if you have a thought about how that should work. Pam, up here.
I don't know, Don said wait, maybe I should wait. No, you know, when I'm sorry, I'm spacing on your name.
Darlene.
Yes, Darlene. When she said how, the thing that first comes to my mind is I look at our values. Mm-hmm. Because each one of us in this room are of value, and we each have been given a measure of faith by God. Mm-hmm. And when we think about that, we can be. And if each one of us in this room can recognize that there is a measure of faith and belief that God has instilled in each one of us, then there's room to grow and be able to see the manifestations that God is doing.
Yeah. I think that the values give us a little bit of how we express this vision, but then we apply them in practical, objective ways, a strategy and a plan.
I mean, just kind of a thought on the vision statement. I mean, you've got a lot of very specific statements there. I'm just wondering, it just feels a little clunky. I'm wondering if there's a way to simplify that down into like one or two sentences, maybe? That's kind of just my thought.
About that. When first got to this, the work of figuring out what the vision was, the thought was that we would have a simple statement, one sentence, a single simple sentence, that would express our vision. And then we were like, hey, like that's kind of hard to do. What we're trying to do is express what we will, what we'd like to see in the future. And we can't do that in one or two sentences, because there are, in a church context, a variety of things that are important for us to pay attention to. And so in that value statement, we chose to make it several simple sentences that focused on a variety of things. Like, for instance, the first one is the idea that every hand working together using our various gifts for Jesus, one of our strategic objectives is to get more involvement from church members in ministry and service. So maybe there's somebody who comes to church on a regular basis, but hasn't applied their talents and gifts in some way in God's church. So part of our vision would be seeing all of us working together. And then the next one, a united, connected church family that does life together, it expresses something a little different, that we're not just a church that comes to worship together, but that we're a church that is a family that does things together, that lives life together in various ways. And that's a goal of tying our church together socially and in service in other ways. Integrated and fully supported youth, that's focusing on an area that is, obviously everybody is part of the family, but our youth are a specific focus we felt we needed to have. So that's the reason why we expressed it in several ways and not just one. What do you think about that?
I feel like it could be a lot more concise. Personally, I think you could have put all that together in like a sentence or two. It might take me a few minutes to work it out to get it all. But like, I mean, you could probably simplify it to something more like every member, including the youth and young adults, working together. You know, you could kind of simplify it down instead of being redundant. Every hand, doesn't that include the youth already? We don't really have to say it twice if you want to specify them. I mean, I'm not saying you can't leave it as is. It's just a thought, because when you have several different points, who's going to remember your vision statement? If you have one simple sentence, it's much more likely we're going to be able to remember that. Just a thought. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, maybe that's a difference of thinking about what the vision statement is for. Mm-hmm. So in our thinking, the mission statement is for that single simple sentence that moves us. It is our purpose. It is the thing that drives us. We exist to be disciples of Jesus who develop new relationships, share Christ's love, and celebrate transformed lives. But our vision is like, okay, so that's our mission. How do we express it between now and where we want to be? And we don't feel like that needs to be something that everybody remembers as much as something that's written down and regularly reviewed for the purpose of making sure we're going in the direction we'd like to go. So I don't know if you're thinking about vision as though it's the mission, probably not the right thing. But if you're thinking about it the way we were conceiving of it, it's more of a reference tool than a memory thing. Larry had something, and then Peggy. And absolutely workshop that. Like, write out a new idea. There's no reason why we can't. But just explaining why we came to what we did.
Ellen White speaks about the process of salvation as a science. And we need to think about this. If we go back to page 3 under our mission, it's great, and I'm not criticizing this in any way. I just want to point out something. When we read there, Christ's method alone will give us true success. The Savior mingled with people as one who desired their good. He showed sympathy to them, ministered to their needs, and won their confidence. Stop. Because the next sentence is what we all want to do immediately. But we are supposed to provide disinterested service. That means we love and care for these people, not because we said, man, if I can just get them to come to church, that's why I'm doing this. That's not why we're doing it. Otherwise, we've missed the purpose of the whole process. We love them because Christ first loved us. And if along the way he impresses us that we should ask them to join us, we should do that. But we shouldn't provide all of our care next door to all these people because we just can't wait to tell them something.
Absolutely.
Not that we don't want to tell them something, and we're so desirous to do that, but we're providing disinterested service because that's what Christ did. His service was disinterested service until they were ready, and he knew when that was. The challenge for us in this process of the science of salvation is to learn when that time comes, when we can make the last step and ask them to join us.
I appreciate that insightful thought. I took this document to the Center for Community Change, which is like the North American Division's, I'm not sure what you'd call it. It's like the top of the top of excellence. Like these guys, pastors that are really transforming their communities, doing excellent work, they're connected to the Center for Community Change. And the Center for Community Change is coaching other churches on growing churches, bringing people to the gospel, transforming communities. And they're really cool people. So I took this vision document to them, and I was like, oh, what do you think? Any pointers? And I just want to point out, it's after our dream team met. It's after the document was created, I shared it with them. And they were like, can we share this as an ideal example of like the best vision document we've ever seen? And I'll tell you why they said that. It's because of what Larry just described. Our tendency is to be debaters for truth and compellers of the gospel. And what we need to be is a disciple of Jesus who goes out and says, come hang out with me. And you are going to find out pretty soon that I follow Jesus. Right? It's about inviting somebody into your life, not just inviting them to sit in a church for a worship service. And they loved that for that reason. I lost the thing. I don't know how to do that. Okay, Phil, what's your passcode?
785.
Close. Okay. Catherine, what do you think of this? Our vision is a united church family where every person uses their God-given gifts for Jesus. Youth and young adults are fully integrated and supported. Partnerships extend a hand up to our community, and neighbors play, eat, and serve, and do life together.
Still learning.
You've been rejected, Phil. I told her to come, but she had some like heart surgery or something, so we gave her a pass this time. Thank you. Nope, not that big.
Right.
Okay.
You caught my attention under the vision, neighbors playing, eating, and serving together.
Yes.
And I've had a wonderful experience. I've lived on that street 32 years, and I know everybody, but I hadn't really intentionally done anything. So a while back, I thought, I have this ping pong table upstairs, and I thought, I can't cook, I can't do much. So I started inviting neighbors once a month or so from 7 to 8 on Sunday night. Come play ping pong, and we do round robin, and it gets pretty wild. And this last Sunday, there were five of us, only four ladies could come. And it just brings tears. One shared when she was tired and not feeling well, so she sat on the couch, and I went, sat by her, and put my arm around her. It's a whole story of husband, alcoholic, you know, just things that are difficult. So she left early. And when the others were leaving, they said, why don't we pray? You know, I should have said that. And we all held hands, and my neighbor down the street prayed the most beautiful prayer for this lady and for our community. So it really helps to have something to do that kind of is fun but draws you together.
I appreciate you telling that story because one of the things that we're thinking about is our audience. And our church encompasses two spheres of influence. The first is the community in which our church building lives. This neighborhood is part of our church family, you might say, our broader church connection. And the second sphere of influence are the neighbors within a couple blocks of your own homes. And we are called to be a light where we're planted. And you are in various parts of the Tri-Cities, and that street that you're on is part of this neighbors playing, eating, and serving together. And so I love to see that expression already happening. And I know it's happening in other places. And the reason this exists is because you guys have said it's an important thing that you value.
Well, and what happens when you're playing, they start talking and sharing. And my neighbor across the street just lost her husband. I mean, it goes on and on because you're just playing and talking. And so I learn things I'd never learn.
You win their confidence, and at some point, the spiritual things come. Any other questions, or is there a suggestion that we either move into our objectives or make a vote here and then move to our objectives? What would you like to do? We have a motion to adopt the statements. We have a second. Any further discussion necessary? In that case, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. Very good. Catherine, when it comes to these vision statements, I suspect that this could be much improved. And I would hope that we look at this carefully, maybe in smaller ways than we've done this last 3 months, but we should look at it carefully on a yearly basis, and maybe we'll adapt, tweak, shift things a little bit, and between now and the next time we look at it, please work on the details. We'd love for the wordsmithing.
Jason, if you're going to adopt these,
yes,
then I feel we need to have them printed and posted.
Absolutely. So what she just said is that she feels like we need to have these printed and posted. Can I tell you an idea that we have? So we want this to be something that pervades your life. What's that?
Invades.
There you go. So there's ways that we can express this throughout our church, and one idea that I've been toying with is the idea of having some merch. That you'd have to buy because we can't afford to just give it. The I follow Jesus statement, right? But also maybe like a poster plaque kind of thing here and there that are focused on different aspects of this. And the core pieces, the who we are, why we exist, our mission, our motto, and our values, we'd like that to be like a plaque that has maybe an ink thing below it for a month or so, maybe the month of January, and all the members of the church can put their thumbprints on that plaque and say, we own this. This is our vision statement, our mission statement. And so, yes, it needs to be lots of places, and it needs to be in sermons, and it needs to be in Sabbath schools.
A half a page with
it'll be a half a page, it'll be maybe a magnet that you can put on your fridge.
Okay, I don't really want to be negative, but however concise and beautiful, to know him and make him known seems to me to encompass it all. If it ain't broke, why do we fix it?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for that. We looked at that very question because one of the things that we're not a new organization, so it would be very acceptable to continue on with what has been and tweak the vision part of it. And the reason that we chose to reshape that was because we felt like it was like an orchestra or a band or something coming to the subject of music. It's such a large subject, but we can only get a narrow niche in our particular group, right? So what are we going to do? Are we going to be a big band? Are we going to be a jazz band? Are we going to be a classical band? Are we going to do pop? What is it that we're going to do? And we felt like that statement was a really good statement that anybody in the Adventist church could say. But what we want is an expression of this church. And so that absolutely fits into know him and make him known as we anticipate his soon return. But what we've articulated in a mission is something that can make us run. Like, for instance, in that mission statement, we say, being disciples of Jesus. That's an important, actionable thing. It is a being verb, a being action, but it is a, Jesus says, abide in me. So that's part of our vision, that we abide with Jesus. And then secondly, developing new relationships. This becomes an active thing. Our purpose is making new friends for Jesus. And in that process, sharing his love and then celebrating the lives that Jesus transforms. That's a moving mission, whereas the other is, it's like it encompasses every genre of music, you know, every aspect of the life of an Adventist.
I just think what Catherine said to make it more concise is really, you know, better. I have another concern, okay? Sure. And that's what Darlene said. How? You see all of this objectives here, and one that really stands out to me is the aim to have maybe a playground for kids and et cetera, et cetera. I know my son was the school board chairman for a while, and we really had serious problems with neighborhood kids in over at our school because we have a lot of liability. And it's unfortunately the atmosphere that we live in, all of these things are going to require an awful lot of insurance, things that liabilities. I mean, I'm sorry that we live in this kind of state that we do in America, but you know, the opportunities for suing and all this kind of stuff. I go back to Darlene. How do you accomplish all of this? It's a great, you know, big program, but there's a lot of logistics here.
Absolutely, a lot of logistics. So we talked about all the stuff. I mean, you guys have big ideas. So our job was to consolidate and to weed out some of them and to focus on priorities. And to be honest with you, this is not a next year, next month idea. This is 3 to 5 years out. So there are a bunch of things in here that there are still lots of uncertainties about. And our goal in the next few pages is not to articulate every action that we'll do, and it's not even to say that we're absolutely certain going to do these things. It's to say, like, here's kind of a framework of some things that you all felt were important. The specific thing about a playground, we'll read it here. Victoria, would you read it? And then we can come back to it and I'll address it. Yes, I see your hand on this.
Children and young families. We aim to have a children's ministry leader with a team who will help organize children's ministries from welcoming new children to VBS to Sabbath school to missions. We aim to continue to have a strong adventurer club. We aim to explore the possibilities of installing a playground that our kids and our neighborhood can enjoy.
Thank you. So the first one is the everything else relies on. We need a leader, and we need to organize a children's ministries team. Right now we have a Sabbath school team, and it's not fully fleshed out. Our youth department is lacking a youth Sabbath school teacher. So we need to be intentional about developing a children's ministry. And part of that is based on our vision statements. And then when it comes to like, and our neighborhood can enjoy, that's an expression of what we feel is this involving our church being part of the community, not just ministering to our own people, our own kids, but involving the kids. And it comes back over and over again. When we pay attention to our children, when we pay attention to the community's children, then we're going to be ministering to their parents and to their grandparents. But we did not say our aim is to install a playground because we recognize there are a lot of issues that we could get into. And it may be that we can't install a playground and we go a different direction. The expression of this is a exploration. And then if we come up a bunch of obstacles, then we shut the idea down. I mean, the money alone might be an obstacle, the liability. liability might be an obstacle. You know, what the city requires might be an obstacle. So we would just ask the question, could this be done? And if not, we can come back and look at it in a different way. So this document doesn't necessarily bind us to absolutely we have to take this action, but it gives us freedom to begin to explore. I believe Anya had her hand up, and then Darlene, thank you.
So if we adopt what we've talked about so far, is there going to be a plan to come up with something more specific? Because this seems like a lot of good ideas, but it doesn't seem specific enough that it would be easy to follow through.
Absolutely. So if you look at the end of the document, it says, for more detailed list of our 2026 to 2028 strategic goals, go to this short URL link. That's a Google spreadsheet that anybody can look at. And the idea behind this is we want to give you the framework, but that document is going to be a living document. And when when you look at an organization being successful in the long term, being able to repeat successful things, and being able to endure, there's a few principles that need to be kept in mind, one of which is that we try to get the best bang for the buck out of everything, right? So if we have an activity that engages our youth, is service-oriented, connects with our neighbors, like that's a win, right? If we're just connecting with our youth, that's okay. But it gets better and better when we're tying in more of these strategic goals into one thing. And so I think that part of this is it needs to be a document that lives together. So our children's ministries can say we have an objective, and we put it on that document, and the church can see it. And then somebody else has an objective, and they're like, oh, these kind of work together. Let's work together and maximize our impact and minimize our effort. So that's the idea behind that document. And that document, I'm not asking you to vote on that document, because this is kind of the framework where that document came from. And then that document can be adapted and grow based on this framework. Does that make sense? And every one of those is a SMART goal. So it's what are we going to accomplish? It needs to be measurable. When are we going to accomplish it by? So it's time constrained. Who's in charge of it? All that kind of stuff. And one of our strategic objectives is that we review that document every other month in our board meeting and hold each other accountable to processing through that.
Okay.
Brendan, can you come up here and read the next one?
Transformative objectives, framework of goals we aim to accomplish in 2026 to 2028. Youth and young adults. We aim to have a youth and young adult leader and a team who will coordinate social activities, discipleship and ministry service opportunities for our youth and young adults. We aim to continue serving our youth with a strong Pathfinder Club.
Amen. One of the things that our board asked us to do is to put in our Pathfinder Club, our Adventure Club, just to make sure that there's no question that we have an intention to continue these. But we recognize that there's a gap in our, especially with our youth and young adult ministry. Just this morning, I was talking with Lisa and Walter about the challenge that our youth have. And how do we bridge that gap? So one of the objectives that we have is make sure that we set in place youth leadership, youth and young adult leadership that can focus our attention on these things and be successful in reaching our youth. John, could you come up and read the next section?
Nurturing and member care, we aim to develop an inactive member ministry team who will engage with inactive members. Also, we aim to expand our care and nurture team and create opportunities for every member to visit our congregation as needs arise. And then the third one, we aim to explore the need for a van ministry for picking up church participants without transportation.
The idea of an inactive member ministry team has been around. We actually, our ministry placement committee has actually already asked some people to be on that team and begin in January. But having that focus, like our goal, the specific goal would be on that document, that spreadsheet, that we'd like to reach, make a connection with every missing member, inactive member, I should say, by July of 2026. And that inactive member ministry team would have some work to do after that initial connection with people, but our goal is to make that initial connection by July, and then they'd have, you know, another 12 to 18 months worth of work as they develop those friendships and draw them back into fellowship if that's possible. So that's an objective that we want to articulate. And also the expanding our care and nurture team, the goal there was we have a group of people that are already caring for those who are sick, go to the hospital and stuff, but we don't really express that need to the rest of the church. And so we're thinking, let's draw more people in, maybe have some way of getting the information out to our church that there is a need, and then people can jump in and visit and help as necessary. Lowell, you were just itching to raise your hand. I saw it.
I guess I was. I didn't think you could read my mind that quickly. I'm a bit embarrassed. Yeah. First of all, I want to say thanks to the group, the individuals who worked on this. That represents a lot of work, a lot of focused thinking. I appreciate the scope and the breadth of everything that's here. It's challenging, but I think it opens windows in ways that we have not been looking before. At the same time, I'm wondering if we're missing something that is so obvious. I'm wondering if we should say here under Nurture and Member Care that we aim to provide a spiritually engaging corporate worship experience for children, youth, and adults.
We do say that actually, under worship.
I guess I read that a little differently.
Well, that was your statement. I wrote it down as you say it. So you've just updated it.
Yeah.
It's a new improved.
Yeah. I thought that maybe this was the place for it because we're talking about member care. And the fact, we cannot take for granted that we have a worship service here. I think this is absolutely crucial to our existence as a church and as a group.
What you're talking about is thinking about those who can't be here as well.
I'm thinking that in our focus, that we have to deliberately focus on worship for age groups in our family.
Would you mind writing this down? And Phil, could you say it again? I'm not Phil. Well.
Oh, my goodness.
I actually am recording, so maybe I could just...
We aim to provide a spiritually engaging corporate worship experience for children, youth, and adults. I mean... This page looked at, three age groupings of members, and I'm just trying to capture the fact that our worship needs to address that.
Thank you. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you.
And keep in mind that this is not adding to what we do. This is helping us.
Exactly.
As we make decisions about doing what we already do. Like, we already have a worship service.
And continuing to focus on making that the best possible.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, thank you.
Affirm, thank you, sweetie. I just want to affirm the fact that every time we've had a meeting of this nature, as long as I've been here, which is a long, long time, there has always been an emphasis on Pathfinders. I'd never heard of Adventure Club until Valerie came, but I know all about it now. But there's always been the emphasis on the youth. And I'm not opposed to that. It's just that sometimes the youth has swallowed up all the money and all the energy, and there's not been other areas that have been able to be covered. The concern that I have above anything else is as I look through these pages towards the back and I see things, for example, a yearly reaping event, which I know we're supposed to do. I understand it. I get that it's important. But it's like doing a potluck every week. We're burning out. And we're worn out, and I fear the burnout factor. It isn't that I'm opposed to it, it's that. I think every year could get to be, it takes 6 months to prepare, and you have it, and then you're exhausted for the next 9 months, and all of a sudden you're behind. So I think we need balance. Exactly. And you've got a church here that's at least 50% retired people.
Thank you. And Joel, can you read the community engagement section?
We aim to establish a community engagement ministry team that will focus on getting to know our neighborhood and developing partnerships with other nonprofits in our area that can advance our ministry goals. To do things with our neighbors, eating, playing, and serving. We aim to host a neighborhood block party. We aim to ensure our neighborhood knows that the Community Event Center is a place they can use for appropriate social gatherings.
Just kind of thinking about what Jan just said about capacity. One of the ways that we want to connect with our community is with our space. So our parking lot, let's make that a space that they can engage with sometimes while we're there. And if we have a community event center, let's make it useful for our community. And in that, we're going to develop relationships, and people are going to become more comfortable about being in our space. And pretty soon, they'll call it their space, too. So that would not be adding tasks to our plate as much as it would be shifting how we think about what we currently have and do. I had Val sharing the next two, and Valerie Young is part of our dream team, and she wasn't able to be here, so I want to share two statements, and maybe Bitsy, you can come up. And maybe you could read this for us.
Church that provides regular opportunities for our church to learn how to pray and to engage in prayer together.
Now, if I gave Bitsy another 20 minutes, she would tell you about all the ways that she'd like to do that. If you look on our Google spreadsheet that we have the objectives, this is expressed in like I think 7 points, very specific points. And she's got plans and good things, and I love that. The next section is worship. We aim to provide a space for all ages to experience inspiring worship. Where did Lowell go? We got to his quote. We aim to emphasize sharing stories of God's blessings and answered prayers and many discipleship journeys in our church. This was like, the way we talked about this is it needs to be we need to tell stories. If we're going to celebrate changed lives, we need to hear about changed lives. And so that doesn't mean that we get like a testimony time every week, but we need to be pulling those stories out. Just this week, I'm going to be doing a mission story about one of our families that started, in fact, our church started a mission, I think, in Honduras and years ago, and it's continued on. So we're going to hear about that. I'm going to do that in our podcast, the Riverview Conversations podcast, which some of you know about, right? Raise your hand if you know about the Riverview Conversations podcast. All right, for those of you who don't, there is a podcast that we do every week. So we're going to tell stories in that context, and in our church lifetime, talk about telling stories. And I think that what Lowell said earlier about the worship, making sure that it's a space all people, youth and children, can engage with and be blessed by our worship. suppose I could have asked Catherine to come up and read this.
Social and play. We aim to create positive fellowship opportunities where we play together and nurture relationships, building within our church and with our neighbors. We aim to host a yearly church campout. We aim to study the value of owning or renting a bus or van that can be used to transport members to social activities and foster an atmosphere of deepening friendships.
The first statement there, we aim to create positive fellowship opportunities. Catherine had a hand in writing that one. We had articulated as a dream team with a focus on play, and we did that probably because we had recently listened to Kevin Wilfley, and he said the church that plays together and prays together is a growing church, and we wanted to express that idea that it's not just fellowship, as in like we get together and chat, but there's intentionality about play, laughter and joy and fun, and that's something that we want to cultivate. If you look on our document, on the Google document, there are several statements that are listed, and it made Catherine concerned. Because one of the things that we said is we need a monthly opportunity to play together, and our social committee probably can't handle a monthly planned event. And what I think needs to happen is that collaborative kind of working together. So maybe we have something that we're doing that's an evening program. Well, let's open the event center up for play for an hour afterwards, right? Or maybe we have something that our community outreach team is planning to invite the neighborhood to. Well, that's part of our gathering and playing together. So this is kind of the work, not just of our social team, but it's something that we want every team to be thinking about. Our youth need opportunities to play together. If we have a youth activity that's about play, then that's kind of satisfying to some extent that idea of a church that's playing together. And keeping the mindset that we're not just playing together, but our play is an invitation for others to join. That this is something our community we can be intentional about saying, hey, my neighbor can come to this. They won't be offended. They won't be weirded out. Like, they're going to have a good time, and we're going to make friends with them. Can we get a mic down to Sean?
I have a very loud voice. I think you can hear me.
I am recording this because there's some people that would like to be here at our journey to Bethlehem, and I'd like this to get to them. So go ahead and speak to the mic. We'd like your loud voice back.
So I guess I'm just wondering if in our aim to create positive fellowship opportunities where we play together, I struggle a little bit with the idea of play. Only because I feel like if our purpose and our objective is to play, we lose our focus. But I think that we can have a lot of fun in service. I would love to see our church do more, like, let's get together and rake leaves in somebody's yard that doesn't, and you know what, it can be a lot of fun. You can make a big leaf pile and jump in it, and you know, but there's so many ways. Like, when I was young, we used to go haul wood for people. I mean, I grew up in the boonies, but to play with service in mind, too.
Can we do both at the same time?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And that's one of the points of this document, is that we try to find ways that we can kill two birds with one stone. That's a terrible expression in this context, but you know what I mean? Like, accomplish more than one objective in at one time.
So I guess, yeah, just when to say, like, we're going to have fun together, but we're always going to keep in mind the fact that we're put here to serve, to be the hands and feet of Christ.
So I'm going to push back just a little bit, if you don't mind. Do you know Pablo Goya?
Yes.
Have you heard his story about tomatoes?
I don't.
Pablo Goya grew a bunch of tomatoes.
Yeah.
He invited the church over, and they threw tomatoes at each other. And what was the purpose? They ate together and they threw tomatoes at each other. service component to the tomato story.
Yes.
But there's also a play component. So I don't think we need to be afraid of play, but I agree, Shalane, that we need to make sure that we are keeping the bigger picture in mind. That's why we've articulated the document in the way we have, not just that we're going to be a playing church, but that in the process we will. Yes, Kathy?
I have tons of leaves if anybody wants to pick them up and play in them.
Cultivate a Christ's method alone culture in our church. We aim to develop a discipleship and accountability. My edit didn't make it.
Well, it did up there, I think.
Did it?
Right there.
There it is. We aim to develop a discipleship model encouraging people to form clusters of 2 to 4 people for prayer, spiritual growth, and accountability in life and church engagement.
We can adapt the document here, but what you see on the screen is what was intended.
We aim to prioritize connect groups in the spring and fall cycle. We aim to develop an I'm a member here event to pass on shared values and create buy-in with new
haven't changed the name. It's been that way for 2 years.
Okay, it's a nominee.
I was going to ask a question earlier. What about our young families? You don't have a specified group where we can draw the young families together, where they can work, you know, make friends and that type of thing. I think they're really getting left out.
Children and young families. So the intention was there, but maybe we didn't articulate it with an objective. Yes, Nadine.
Sometimes we overlook the things that are. Is that better? Sometimes we overlook some of the things that are so obvious that are in front of us. And as what I'm referring to is we have many times all kinds of interests from maybe some of the television programs like Voice of Prophecy or so on that they want Bible studies. And I was aghast at one time. I actually saw the pastor's desk. They were all in his desk drawer. Nobody ever contacted any of those people that asked specifically for someone to contact them. And an illustration that I'd like to show is when Jack and I were very young and in a church in San Diego that we lived, that church, the Kirkland Church, that was Seattle Church. This was the North Park Church in Seattle. They had a baptism every other week, maybe. And what they had was a lot of retired people in the church. I mean, there was a diversity in the church as well. That's one of the things we liked. There was young and old and, you know. But they went out actively giving Bible studies. And they had what they called the New Believers Club. And those members that they brought in, they didn't allow them into the rest of the church for the most part, okay? Not for a while. They met as a separate entity as the New Believers. They had socials and functions, and they just totally embraced all of those people. And they could only be there for 2 years, I think it was. I forget all the kinds of rules. But we all looked at it, and we were kind of envious of their relationships that they really established. And then they integrated them into the church. but they were so solid at that time. And the amount of baptisms, I remember Jack and I just looked at it, and we were like, wow, this really, really works. And so we started, Jack and I did, this, it was 40s up group or something, or 20 up group. And we tried to imitate all of that new believers' functions that they did. And we had a really active group for quite a while. But the point I'm trying to make is there's all kinds of contexts that probably are sitting around here, I hope not in your desk. But, and then the other thing, in several years we had, what was his name, Osborne, I believe, came here. And he started teaching us how to give Bible studies. Well, I'll admit I had smaller children, and Jack got really involved in that, and I didn't for a while, but it got to be kind of the end thing. I got into it a little bit, and then in their, I don't know what you call it, but the conference passed him on, and the whole thing died. But it was a really active group of people going out and actually giving Bible studies to a lot of those contexts that we already had in the drawer of the pastor's study. So, but I know.
Developing an outreach training course to be offered alongside the spring and fall connect groups. If you look at the spreadsheet, you'll find that it's very intentional about developing people who can give Bible studies and lead outreach ministry. And the goal is that we have a team giving Bible studies. We already have several that do, but expand that and make sure that.
But you need a real leader that teaches you how to do that. Just go out cold turkey. I don't know how to do that. I really don't. But I don't know if that's adaptable, but I was just thought that was such a fantastic program of their New Believers Club, because so often we baptize people and then we leave them alone and they really don't get integrated into the church in any meaningful way. And so anyway, just passing it on.
That's a part of our vision for every hand working using their gifts. But also, we can get burnout, right, Jan? We need more involvement so that we don't end up with that burnout. And look at the outreach in evangelism. You mentioned this, Jan, earlier. We aim to host a yearly reaping event and or small group experience that is intentional about leading towards baptism. We aim to find ways to connect with our food bank clients in deeper ways, to provide a hand up using Christ's method alone while not violating our agreements for financial grants. And we aim to expand the volunteers and leadership for our digital prayer ministry. The first one about a reaping event. I believe that when Jared was here, it was kind of every other year he did a big meeting. And last year we did a special thing, which is from the Project Compassion. The intention is that we have kind of a growing relationship with people, and there's a time when it's right to say, hey, why don't you join our church? And that's kind of the reaping thing. It's not just join our church. Why don't you say yes to Jesus all the way? But we have a lot of people that are like, I'm all in for Jesus, but they haven't made a decision to be a member of our church family and take ownership of that mission. And there needs to be times where we say, hey, let's talk this through. And then, are you interested in being baptized? Are you interested in joining my profession of faith? And it's when we have that intentionality, the Bible studies, maybe a small group experience, or a public event that's leading towards that question, are you ready for baptism? Are you ready to join the church? Then that's when we're going to have that consistent development of baptismal interests. So this doesn't need to be a big international event. It could be a small group that lasts for 10 or 12 weeks that's intentional. You come to this, and we're going to be talking about the stuff that would be about being a member of our church, about becoming baptized and giving your life to Jesus.
also might, and the intention for this coming year would be to have some sort of event that we say, all right, we've got a bunch of people that we care about that are part of our church family, that let's do this together, where we just kind of intensively focus on the theology of the Bible, and then you can say, yeah, I'm all in, I love this. Or you could say, oh, never mind, right? y'all are crazy. But so the plan would be, and we've been saving money in our evangelism budget, and we've got the conference saving money for us from last year and this year to do an evangelistic series. And but I think we need to be careful that we do it in a way that doesn't burn us out. Like, it might be intense for a minute, but I don't think it should be something that we leave and say, I never want to do that again. So we need to be careful how we do these things. Yes?
Something.
Yeah, the big event might happen every 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Brendan, do you have that mic? Do you have your hand raised?
I have another concern that I see here. Tammy Stewart and I did blood drives here at the church for over 10 years. Tammy was at it about 12 years, and I did it about 10. When you're doing something like the food bank, like the blood drive, where you are sponsored by the government, you got to walk really carefully, because the first thing I thought was, let's get some pamphlets out here, let's hand these out, let's do this, that. That would absolutely cut our funding immediately. So you need to be careful. I mean, I see that you're referring to the grants, but in general, you could lose the whole food bank and all the government support.
Certain
if you're not really careful.
We're going to compromise, and we don't want to do like Larry was talking about. We don't want to have an agenda. But our thinking was, like, there needs to be some intentionality, not just that we share food with our neighbors, but if there are ways that we can creatively imagine to make some connections with them and do the Christ Method Alone thing. And one day we'll have an opportunity to say, come follow Jesus. But that's not the intention. The intention is to develop relationships. And with the hope of maybe helping them up, not just giving them a handout, but maybe there's an opportunity that we can help connect them with a longer-term solution that can eliminate the need for our food bank, right? So just having that intentionality in the back of our minds is the goal of that.
I just wanted to point that out, because we have such a wonderful reputation at this point with the food bank. I don't want to ever see that go away. That's just fabulous. Thank you, Brian.
In the very back, Patrick.
Can you speak to the mic so that we can, because I am recording it for people who would like to participate, but I can't be here.
I would just like to point out on the food bank thing, Christ Method Alone, Christ didn't use the government. I think it'd be good to cut those ties and trust in Christ alone and let Christ do the work. If we're actually doing his work, he'll provide.
Thank you for expressing that, Patrick.
We aim to grow the active members of our church, those who attend and volunteer in some capacity, by 15%. We aim to improve our scheduling tools and communication with volunteers. We aim to regularly, creatively communicate the mission, vision, values, and motto of our church so that every member understands and can articulate these things to anyone who asks.
So those are the framework. We haven't said everything that we could do, and certainly some of that we're going to have to do piece by piece over time. Some of it's just, let's be careful about how we do the things we already do. But some of it we're going to be only able to do as we grow capacity and the skills that the church needs. If you'd
you'd like to see the specifics, there's a link in the document, and this is the link here to our spreadsheet where we've been a little bit more detailed in that. So with that, and understanding that this is a document that's an expression of our mission and vision and values, is there any other discussion, or is there a motion to accept these? A little discussion first, and then I'll take your motion. Catherine?
Well, I just...
Can you give Catherine a mic?
I like what Lowell had to say about including something in that nurture section, because I think he's right. Like, it really doesn't seem to ever... I don't remember his exact words.
Lowell's got it written down.
But, I mean, I think that something, like, it doesn't really say anything about nurturing those who come to church here. Like, it's talking about nurturing people that aren't here. That's wonderful. But what about those that are here? They also need to be cared for. So I think something that involves that, like kind of like what he was saying, I think.
Let me ask, did you mind if I ask a question to clarify that?
Yeah.
When we think of nurture, I think that the context for our care and nurture team is about caring for people who have just gone to the hospital and are homesick, or, you know, like paying attention to those people that aren't able to be in this context, where we rub shoulders with each other and kind of naturally are in relationship and nurture each other. So it's the ones that are kind of left out and forgotten that particular team is focused on.
Sure.
So when we look at those who actually do come, the ways that I've perceived that care and nurture happening is in the context of fellowship, in the context of worship,
okay,
and in the context of discipleship.
Okay.
Would you see that as a representation of that, or do you think we need to articulate it more specifically?
I mean, I guess I think that can actually be okay. Yeah. There was a comment. Should I say it?
If it's your comment.
Well, I mean, it's just interesting. You guys talk a lot about the youth and young adults in here, but there's nothing really in here about singles. And there's actually quite a few singles in this church. I mean, they are nurtured at potluck, but they're just not mentioned in here as part of the focus. So anyway, that's just another little side comment.
I like that thought, and I think it should be something that could be represented here.
Sorry, I didn't think of all that ahead of time to email
right.
you, but...
And keep in mind, like I said, that accepting this document doesn't mean that this is the limit. This is a framework.
Okay.
So we can certainly add minutia focus detail to the story after the fact. Larry?
I move and we accept the document.
Okay, we have a motion. Because we have a motion, is there a second? And then I'll come back to you. Is there a second to?
Second.
Second? Okay. Randy, you had a question or a thought. Go ahead and give her the mic.
I feel like we focus, and it's important to focus on the youth and the young people and being nurturing to teach them how to be leaders someday. But I feel like there's a point where I'm going to be vulnerable enough to use my father as an example. You know, I've had members walk up to my mom and ask her if she's married, and not realizing that there is a significant man next to her in church every Sabbath. And I know that there are other in the 60 to 80 range in this church that can quietly come into church and sit and leave and not get acknowledged, and I feel a need to have those people feel more valued, and I have a need to have the young people. Those people love to engage with the little kids, and I see them, like Max and, you know, Kathy and other people, but I think we need to teach our young people how to engage with them. Yeah, I can't tell you how much it would feed them and bring a smile to them. And there are a couple of special people who always make it a point to value my father in church, but there are ways I think we can use these individuals. You know, I'm not asking all of you to go and hoard my father in church next Sabbath, but I'm using him as an example. He used to be a vibrant Pathfinder director for many years, a head deacon. And I think sometimes as we age, those people get forgotten, and we forget that they still have value. And I think somehow that part of our congregation needs to be a focus in this document also.
One of the things on our Care and Nurture team, one of the objectives that they currently have, is to work with the Ministry Placement Committee and find ways that we can give purpose, mission and purpose, to those who aren't able to come and help out at a food bank or lead a Sabbath school or something like that. Maybe they're at home because of they're unable to move easily or something. And that's something that is a burden on our hearts at the moment, and we intend to, it's on our document, and we'd like to engage those, I think the word that we used was, just that there's a word for it, but anyway, that they're at home, they can't come to church for one reason or another, to engage them in ministry in some way. I'm not sure that fully encapsulates what you're saying, but I think that's really good. Second, is there any other discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no. Thank you. I just want to wrap up with a thought. One of the questions that we asked at the Vision Summit was, what's the role of the pastor? And show us the biblical evidence for that role. Lots of really good stuff was shared. You can't possibly read all of it necessarily, but spiritual leader, I like this one. All things to all people, thank you for whoever said that. preach every Sabbath. Apparently somebody likes that preaching, that's great. a counselor, a shepherd, equipper, a teacher, a trainer, a builder of relationships, a comforter, encourager, facilitator, developing leaders and empowering people to lead, leading by example, watching over the flock, mentoring, exercising authority, caring, kindness, and recognizing your own weaknesses and delegating to those who have strengths in those areas, an administrator, a theologian, an evangelist, someone who seeks and saves the lost and encourages collective action and praying and anointing people and connecting us to the larger church body. One person, thank you all, said the pastor's role is not specifically defined, it's multidimensional. And it's okay. And then somebody else said the pastor's role is not building, maintenance, and cleaning. Apparently, yeah.
That sounds like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What do you do on Thursday and Friday?
It's possible that I couldn't do all of this. In the North American Division, they have this thing called the seven core qualities of a pastor. And you can see there's character, evangelism, leadership, worship, management, scholarship, and relationship. And they wrote a book on it, literally a book on what it means to be a pastor. If I look at that, I'm overwhelmed. It could be discouraging.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I'd like to suggest. We could be a pastor-led church. That's Ian McGregor. Leaping tall buildings, all that. We could be a pastor-led church. And this is a traditional church. A traditional church comes to church to hear the pastor. And I've had people recently tell me, you're a good preacher. I really love coming to hear you preach or something. And I like it when people affirm me that way. But I don't want people to come to this church because I'm a good preacher. We have a mission and an identity. I want them to come to be a part of the family because you're one of their brothers and sisters. I want them to become a part of to be a part of our mission because they see God moving this church. And when I leave, I want them to stick around. Not because they get a pastor who's got as great sermons as I do, probably better. But because they're bought into this mission and they've become part of this family. And so I'd rather us not be a pastor-led church. The pastor needs to lead, don't get me wrong. But I think we should be a mission-driven church. A mission-driven church looks at the values and the vision and the mission and says, this is why we exist and this is where we're going and this is how we're going there. And the
then the pastor becomes a facilitator of that process, but the people are bought into the mission, not the pastor. Hopefully they like the pastor too, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I just want the focus to become mission. And if the focus is mission, when the pastor has a deficiency, then the church looks at that and says, oh, we need to fill in the gap so that we can accomplish the mission. Rather than when the pastor has a deficiency, oh, we need to fire this guy, get a new pastor, because we don't like him, right? The mission-driven church is a growing church. And the pastor-led church is a looking at our own belly buttons, dying church. So with that motivational speech, what would you like to be? Pastor-led or mission-driven? We don't need a vote on that. I just wanted to give a little pitch. I really appreciate the thoughts that you had about the pastor's role, and I take those to heart. And I want to be a growing, developing pastor. I don't want to just be stagnant and this is where I am. I want to consistently develop. But I also want you to come alongside me, because I am not more than you or better than you. I am simply a minister ministering by the other ministers that God has put in this community. So that's all I had to say. Shall we pray and be done? Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this family that we get to be a part of. May you lead us forward step by step in the vision you're calling us to. This is our expression, our five smooth stones. We put them in your lap and we say, move us forward or stop us in our tracks according to your will. And we want to say that we affirm that salvation comes by you, not by any mechanism that we have. So I pray that you would be the one that's leading people that need to be at this church to come, that you would be developing the relationships that we need to develop, putting us in the path of those people that you want us to get to know, and that you would give us those opportunities to say, come, follow Jesus, and help us to be wise about how we ask and when we ask. Lord, I pray that you bless us in this evening. Be with the Kennewick's mission that they're doing right now with Journey to Bethlehem. May lots of people come and see a picture of Jesus because of their ministry. In Jesus' name.